You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Imagine going to the marriage retreat. The marriage retreat is only for like 2 days. And so you go there Thursday. We stay there Thursday night. We stay there Friday night. We check out Saturday morning. But most people go there with their hand luggage. Most people go there with a little overnight type of bag. But think about this now. Is that imagine if we see someone backing up one of these lorries and they're bringing their fridge out and they're bringing their cooker out and they're bringing their washing machine out. We would be like, that doesn't make any sense. You're only here for 2 days. That makes, how many know that wouldn't make sense? Some of you are getting it. Some of you look at me like, yeah, it wouldn't make sense. I want to say to you today is that many times God and Christianity will not make sense unless we understand eternity. You will need to understand eternity. Look at someone and say, you need to understand eternity. Amen. And so let's leap straight into this scripture. And then like we did before, I'll pause. We can stop for a few questions on subject. And then we will discuss that even more. Scripture, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you for your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your love. Manifest all of those things, please, in this place. Father, I pray that you would really lead us and guide us to understand this deep thing of eternity. Father, without it, Lord, a lot of things that you want us to do and a lot of things we go for are not going to make sense. Father, I pray for those that are going through trials right now, that you will strengthen their heart and help them in this time. Lord, I pray that our focus would be on the things that you want our focus to be on. Help us to go into your word and help it to edify us. And we ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen. Let's start by saying this, is that this scripture, the first thing he says here is do not lose heart. And what he means by that is don't be discouraged. How many know if the Bible's telling us not to be discouraged, we actually can be discouraged? How many know that? How many know the Christian can be discouraged? We can be discouraged. And he says this. He says, don't lose heart. So he's saying, don't be discouraged. And he says, even though our outward man is perishing, even though our outward man is perishing, and what it's talking about is this life that we're living in. Even though in this life, right now, something you could be going through is tough. Something right now you could be going through, something which is very, very tough. He uses the word perishing in our text. He also uses the word affliction. And so right now, there could be things that you're going through, which is actually, you feel like, you know, there's a pressure, there's tough situations, these are hard times, you've been afflicted. And so, he says, do not let your outward man, so he says, do not lose heart, even though your outward man, when he talks about the outward man, he's talking about your natural life, the life that we're living in now. When he's speaking about the outward man, he's talking about this life that we're going through now. How many know if you lose your job, it doesn't affect heaven? So we're talking about now. How many know even if you get sick, it doesn't affect heaven? How many know if someone doesn't like you, all of a sudden people don't like you? How many know people are finding they don't like you, I don't like you? Okay, but how many know that doesn't affect heaven? So when he's talking about the outward man, when he says that, he's talking about this life that we're in right now, the outward man, the relationships you're in right now, how you feel right now. Though this is going wrong, though this is causing me problems, he says, listen, you as a Christian should not be overcome with anguish, even though you're going through some problems. You as a Christian and me as a Christian, you shouldn't be overcome with depression, even though you're going through some problems. Because he said this in the text. He said, therefore, do not lose heart, even though, he didn't say, don't lose heart, because you're never going to go through nothing. He didn't say that, did he? He says, don't lose heart, even though you're going through this tough time, even though you don't know how to pay your bills, even though you don't know what's going on in your marriage or with your kids or with your finances or with your family, even though all of these things are going on, we should not be depressed. We should not be overcome by worry. And the reason why he says this is that he says, we do not look at the things which are seen. We do not look at the things which are seen. And what this really means is we don't focus on now. How many know that? If you're a Christian right now in this place, you know, Wednesday, it's a discipleship sermon, really. It's more of the regulars turn up. And so if you're a Christian in this place, you've got to not focus all your attention on the now. If you're focusing all of your attention on the now, you probably will get anguish. You probably will feel depressed. You probably will start to worry. And he says, listen, we don't lose heart. We don't get depressed. It doesn't affect us when life doesn't work out for us. It doesn't affect us. Let me repeat that. For the Christian, he's saying it doesn't affect us the way it affects the world when life doesn't work out for us. Why? Because we don't look at the things which are seen. We focus on other things. He says we don't focus on the things which are passing away. How many know everything here is passing away? How many know every problem you have right now is going to pass? Think about a problem that you have right now. Money problem, well, that's going to pass. Because how many know when you're dead, you ain't going to have no money problems? Yeah? A sickness problem. Okay. And I want to speak this very sensitive. Even if you have a terminal illness, and that's very sad. If you had a terminal illness and it ends, but it's going to end, Christian. It's going to end. You go to another place. Even, it doesn't matter what it is. You have marital problems. Where marriage is no heaven, praise God. No, joking. You'll get through it, amen. You don't have to wait that long, hallelujah. You're single. You might be, I'm single, pastor. For you, in heaven, we're all single. Hurrah. What I'm saying is that all of the, why focus on things which are passing, the Bible says. Why make everything about that which is passing? Does anybody here have an eternal problem? There's only one eternal problem, and that is sin. And Jesus has already dealt with that, conquered that. You don't even need to deal with that. When me and my wife, we went to a conference on the way back, we just stopped off a few days to spend some time with my dad. I'm flying back from, because you can't fly direct to Tucson. So we go to Orlando, and then we usually go to Tucson. You can fly direct to Orlando. And so on the way back, we fly back to Orlando and then spend a few days and then we fly back to England. On the way to Orlando from Phoenix, we stopped off at, where did we stop off? It was Atlanta, that's it. And so we flew from Phoenix to Atlanta and we was going to get our connecting flight, but our connecting flight was delayed. And everything was messed up. And we was one of the only guys that we got. Our flight from Phoenix was one of the last flights out. It was so hot in Phoenix, planes couldn't take off. Because the air was so thin, there was no lift. It was so hot. And so here we are. And so we were supposed to be in Atlanta for maybe about an hour. I think we was in Atlanta for about 4 hours. And so we didn't get to Orlando till about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, this type of time. And so here we are. We're in Atlanta and we're delayed. But how many know that this is a delay? This is uncomfortable, but this is not the end of our journey. This is just the Passover period. This is just, you know, our connecting flight. I want to tell you that that's how life is. This life is not the end for us. This is not the end for you. This is just the connecting bit. You was born and now you're in the connecting bit. And sometimes it's comfortable. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. For a period of the time when we was in Atlanta, there were seats and we were sitting there. And then there wasn't any seats. We're standing. So for a period of time, we were sitting. You're comfortable. For a period of time, we were standing. But we didn't cry and make a big thing out of it because we knew this is not our final destination. This is not our final destination. If this was our final destination, then I would be depressed. But it wasn't. Can I tell you today, the struggles and the things that me and you are going through right now, this is not our final destination. This is why he says, don't lose heart. Take courage. Because he's saying, we don't look at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. Okay, let me open up for some questions, if there is any questions. Any questions at all? No, I'm answering all the questions, man. Any questions? Praise God. Look at someone and say, God is good. Amen. All right, let me go. Let me move on. I know there are probably more questions later. I get to go home early, amen. You like to get home early when you're at work, innit? God is good. Okay, so the Bible says this. Our life is short. This is why we're not discouraged over these trials that we're in right now. Because life is short. One of the things, it says this. Life is like a vapor. Say vapor. James 4, verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will appear tomorrow, for what is your life? Is that Siri? The demon, man. Bind you, Siri. Let's start again. Okay. James 4. Don't feel bad. The other day I was preaching somewhere at a revival and my phone started to speak to me. I don't know what I said. I was like, God is coming back. And he said, I don't think so. Are you demon? I speak to your revival, man. Anyway, let's go back to where we were. James 4, verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Basically, the steam that comes out your kettle. I like tea. You can tell my wife, will tell you, I love tea. I could drink tea all day, man. I love tea. Tea and biscuits, tea and cake, tea with sandwiches, tea with everything, man. Tea with dinner. Our kettle is getting a good working. That kettle gets worked in our house. And so you boil the kettle and the steam appears and then it vanishes. Now, I don't know if you're troubled by that. Think of this. When you see that steam, you're not like, oh, is it having a good experience? Listen, God says when he looks at our life, when he looks at your life, he says, this is what your life is. Here on earth, he says in James 1 verse 11, for no sooner has the sun risen with its burning heat, then it withers the grass and the flowers fall and its beautiful appearance perishes, so that the rich man also will fade away with his pursuits. You know what the Bible says? Is that our life is like the flowers. He says, it's like a flower. It's like the flowers of the field. That's what our life is like. And you buy flowers, and we said before, they come and they blossom. The flower is like this. It grows. It gets to its peak. It shows its petals, I guess that's the word, and then it withers. That's how it says. That's how life is. That's how our lives are. Like this, and And what he does is he's saying that this is like the rich man. A while ago, we had to put, I remember one of the pastors, when they did a revival, we put the pastor in the hotel where Tian and some of the guys work. Loads of guys have worked in that hotel. And so they get us a good discount, praise God. Discount is godly. And so if you can give me discount anywhere, let the Lord speak to you. And so it's right in Chelsea. It's right where the footballers are. And so one time we went there, and so there was a big crowd of people, and I think it was Chelsea, the players were training. This is where I realized this is crazy. This football thing is crazy. The people were lining up just to see them train, just to see them drive past. They were chasing down these Mercedes, Brabus, and all of this stuff, and these G-Wagons, and they're chasing these cars. And so I went into the car park. Yeah, it's underground. And so, listen, these cars like you've never seen. Cars like I've never seen. Cars that I will never see again. Cars I didn't want to touch there, man. I didn't even want to touch these cars. This is on a whole nother level. I see guys, their suits. The suit just look sharp. You just knew. The watches, the ties, everything just look super sharp. And, you know, when you see that, I was like, yeah, okay, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? That'd be nice to have some of that. Yeah. And no sooner as I thought of it, the scripture came to my mind, because we was doing the Bible workout, and I've memorized this scripture. And it says, no sooner as the sun has risen with its burning heat, that the flower withers. And what the Bible says, the rich man is like the flower. For a little moment, God looks at him. The little moment, his petals open for a few days, and then they wither. Think about it now. For a few days, these petals open and they wither. That is how the rich man is seen to God. All of these people, think about these people that were out there running after these football stars. I saw one guy going down Fulham. He was chasing after this Q7, and he's chasing it. Literally chasing it till it got to the traffic light, then put out a little bit of paper, please sign something. And God says, yeah, you're chasing this. You're going to put this signature, someone's signature in your pocket and show your friends and put it on a wall. And God says, when he sees it, it's just like this. To God, it's so short. Life is so short when it comes to eternity. Now, I want to... Are these working? Okay, good. Can we put up these units of 10? I want to show you your life, units of 10. Is it up there? Okay. Can everybody see that? Okay, so this is, the average person in this country lives till 80-something. That's the average person. How many know 80 years is a good run? Listen, if I can get 80 years, I'm happy. Obviously, if you're here and you're over 80, you want more, but... You know, we haven't reached that yet. Maybe when I get to 80, I'll be like, boy, squeezing another 10. But this is where, you know, I made myself clear. So I've brought these into units of 10. And so really and truly, the first two units is your basic learning and education. How many know that? Most of those units, you live with your parents. Most of those units, you're not really doing your own thing. How many know you're not doing your own thing? And so those are like gone. That's like you're just there learning, living at your parents, doing what you're doing. But really, most people don't think their life has really started yet. That's it. They're not like, okay, by 20, I need to be, you know. No, usually this is just the basic learning, studying, just going through life, living with parents and all of those things. And then the next slide, please. So this now is your 20s to 30s, and this is your physical peak. This is when men and women are at their physical peak. So most of you right now, you're in your, this is where most of you are. So you're at your physical peak. Now, if you've passed that and you never got to your peak, don't blame me. You know, but this is the reality. We saw the other day, Usain Bolt. Listen, that's it. It's you know, we want to see that for another 20 years. It's not going to happen. This is a new generation. Klitschko retired. This is just part of it. You pass your physical peak. And so this is the age where you're really at your strongest physically. And so if you're going to work hard, let me just throw this out. If you're going to work hard now. In this is the time when you work hard. Not only work hard, this is the time when you give your best to God. This is when, I thank God I got saved at 22. See, I got saved at 22 and I've rinsed out my 20s for Jesus. I rinsed it out. I don't know if people even use that term. That's a bit ghetto, isn't it? But really, I maxed it out. There you go. I did the most I could for Jesus. I didn't be like, oh, let me just chill and then I'm going to serve God later. But this is my physical peak. Why would I give my physical peak to the world and then come back later and say, let me give God just my leftovers? The Bible tells us, give God your first fruits. Your first fruits. Give God your youth. What I found is people that don't give God their youth, usually it's very hard for them to get it later on. It's very hard for them. I'm talking about people that got saved in their youth. We've got people in our church, they got saved later on in years. That's a different dynamic. But when you've been saved from young, but you didn't get in young, and then later on you think you're going to pick up the pace, most times it doesn't work like that. The first 3 years of your salvation, they're so important to set the pace of the rest of your life. Next slide. Okay, this is when the physical strength starts to decline. This is where I am, by the way. I'm right here. Right, I'm right in the middle. Sunday, 44. My next milestone is 50. Think about it. That's my next milestone is that 50 mark there. And so really, I'm half. If I get a good run, 80, I'm halfway now. I'm past my physical peak. I'm halfway. But I believe God, I still haven't reached my spiritual peak. This is why spirituality is so good. Because this is when people start to get depressed. This is when women start to do crazy things. Start dressing like a chicky babe. Listen, man. Louder. You know, you're not 20 no more. Just, you know, wear your size, dress your age. And so the reality is, this is where guys start to have midlife crisis. He wants to trade in the older model for a younger model. We don't do no wife trading here, no wife swapping here. You said I do, you did, now do it. This is if you're all about the now and the physical, this is a very, very funny place for people. This is where people spit out. The like I said before about suicide. Suicides, the most suicides start round about here. This is the physical decline. Next one. It's retirement age. Now think about this now. Think of how quick life is going now. So that if we knock out the first two, forget the first two, because what do we say? You're in school, you're educated, you're at your parents. Then you've got like these two, maybe your 30s, 40s. Then you're on the tip of retirement. Look how quick life is passing you by. This is why there's some of you here, you're like, oh, I'm going to get on fire soon. I'm going to give God everything soon. Soon is coming. Soon is here now. And then the last one. Death. You die. That is it. Now, this is life. I've just dropped it into, and like I said, I'm right in the middle. And that is if you get a good run. How many know to live to 80 is a good run? That's a good run. Many people, they didn't even get there. As I was driving to church on Sunday, I was thinking to myself, many people have not seen 44. Many of my friends have not seen 44. 44. Many people don't see this. But if we had this, even this is short. How many agree with me? Let's go to the next slide. Let's compare that life to 1,000 years. Look at it now. On the side there, that's the 80 life, 80 years, sorry, that we said was really, you know, that's what we want. Look how tiny it is compared to 1,000 years. Imagine heaven was for 1,000 years. Wouldn't it be worth living for Jesus for these 80 years if heaven was 1,000 years? How many know it'd be stupid to say to sell out now and miss heaven? If it was just 1,000 years, it still would be worth it. Like, yeah, let me, because the first two, we said, you know, what are you doing there? And then, you know, then you got the 40s and the 30s. No, no, no. And then you're retired. So yeah, let me live for Jesus for these 80 years. So I get the 1,000 years. Look how much that is. You look how much you would have in heaven. It's worth it. Go to the next slide. Say it was 10,000 years. Look how short your life would be. I couldn't even put that little thing there. I just had to put that little slice of something. That's now 80 years compared to 10,000 years. How many know it's nothing? How many know if you're going for a struggle here and you're like, oh, boss, I'm going for a struggle. I feel like quitting. Are you mad? Ride it. Look at someone say, ride it. Ride it. That's right. Because look how short it is. It's going to end soon. It's going to end. Go through it. Pastor, my marriage is... Go through it. Pastor, I'm single. Go through it. Pastor, my health. Go through it. Look at it. My kids. My husband. My this, my that. Go through it. It's worth it. If heaven was a 10,000 years... But heaven is not for 10,000 years. Heaven is not for 10,000 years. Heaven is for eternity. There is no way that I can actually show you that. This is the only way I could do it. I could have gone to like 100,000 years. You wouldn't even have seen it. It would be pointless. I couldn't go any further because the pixels wouldn't allow me. How many know it shows you life is short? Life is so short. See, now we start to understand how God sees things. And why sometimes you're going through something and you think, why doesn't God just stop it now? Why I'm going through this and I prayed. Why didn't God get me out of it now? Why has God not given me what I want now? Because, sorry, go back to the slide. Because God's like, listen, it's so short. To him, it's like, listen, just write it. It's so short. But I want to be out of it now. God's like, you're going to be out of it in a minute anyway. Oh, God didn't come through for me. I backslid because I prayed for a wife and he didn't give me one straight away, so I backslid. It's so short. You start to see, maybe now I understand why God is not like a genie. See, Matthew 16:26, for what would it profit if a man give, so I gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what would a man give for in exchange for his soul? Please go back to that other... The last slide you showed. Think about this now. This is not even eternity. Who would swap these two? You're gonna lose this, but you're gonna get pleasure now. You'll lose this, sell this for this. How many of you know nobody does that? Nobody sells something of high value for something of less value. See, in our text he says this. We do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to imagine these two things. You're looking at eternity, you're looking at your life now. And Paul says, you have to focus in on the things you're not seen yet. You have to focus in on the things you've not seen yet. We've got, can I have the next slide of the island? This is Richard Branson's island. Richard Branson, billionaire. And so I've read a few books about him and business and things like that and read about it. He had this island. So you can go and stay on this island. If you would like to, you can book it. You don't have to book the whole island. I think you can book the whole island for a period of, you know, if you've got that type of money. I don't think your oyster quite gets you there, but... and so let's look at some pictures of this place. Look at that, it's nice. How many of you think that's nice? I like that, man. Woo! I can see myself there now, in that hammock. That's right, waking up there. Look at that. Next one. Oh, yeah. My phone is off now. No calls. Just chilling. I'd come back nice and toasty. And at sunset. Okay, stop it there. Just keep that one up there. Nice. Nice pictures, huh? Nice place to go. You could stay there for a week if you got 30,000. for the week. Yeah, exactly. These pictures are nice pictures. When you look at these pictures, they're nice. When you see nice pictures, it actually gives you pleasure. People put these type of pictures on their screensaver. People have nice pictures up in their house. These are nice pictures. There is pleasure from seeing that nice picture. You can kind of imagine yourself there, sitting there, and someone comes in and serves you. The light is coming in here. This is really nice. Now imagine Branson calls you up and says, you know what, I've realized through this crazy mystic connection that we're related. You're like, that couldn't happen. Hey, stranger things have happened. And so what happens is, think about this now. He says, this island is yours. This island, the whole island is yours. It's yours. Go into the city. I've paid for a solicitor for you. You've got your own solicitor. You go there. You sign the papers. This is not a hoax. This island is yours. You can go there anytime. You can rent it out. You can do what you want with it. That can be you there, sitting there on your island. How many know that would be nice? Some of you are like, yeah. Imagine that I said to you, I meet you as you come out the solicitors. You've signed the papers. You've got the paper in your hand. And you're telling me, look, Pastor, this is my island. Look at it. This is what the paper says. The title deed, island, the coordinates, the longitude, the latitude belongs to, in the care of. So it's legally yours. And you've got all of that stuff there. And I say to you, I tell you what, why don't you swap it with me for a picture of the island? I've got some nice photos. These photos, I've printed them off and I've put them in nice frames. Look at them. Aren't they nice? And I'm showing you. I'm pulling these frames out. They're nice. A1 size. Massive. Nobody would. But no. Hold up. You could look at them now and get some pleasure. You haven't been to the island yet. You haven't seen the island yet. Physically, the island hasn't contacted you yet. It hasn't done anything for you yet. These pictures can give you some pleasure right now. How many know looking at pictures give you pleasure for a moment? A moment. Like you look at it, oh, that's nice. And then it's gone. No one would swap a momentary pleasure. No one would swap a momentary pleasure for truly experiencing that which has been promised, even though they haven't seen it yet. This is what the Bible is saying. It says, we do not look at the things which are seen. We don't, I'm not focusing on the pictures that are here now. Legally, this document tells me that there is a place prepared for me that is far better than where I am right now. Can I tell you, your Bible is a legal document. A legal document. You entered into a legal agreement when you accepted Jesus Christ. That was signed by you and him. And now you have been promised a greater glory. Stop focusing on the now. Don't trade now for what you can have later. This is why he says, we're not discouraged. We're not discouraged because we don't look at the now. We're not focusing on now. You push those pictures out of my face. Listen, I don't want to see no stupid pictures. I'm going there. We need to be able to tell the devil, listen, I'm not focused on what you're telling me about my life now, devil. This ain't going to work. He's showing you this ain't going to work. That's not going to work. Hey, don't be, you're trying to live clean. Why don't you just go for that guy? Why don't you just do this? Why don't you do that? For a temporal pleasure. He's showing you things. He's soliciting temporal pleasure. Come on, you enjoy this for a moment. And you've got to push them aside and say, listen, I'm not wasting, I'm not trading this temporal pleasure to miss this eternal blessing. How many are with me? Any questions? Amen. Okay, let's move on. The Bible says this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We need to look at that. He says this light affliction. He's saying it's a minor thing in our lives. Romans 8 verse 18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He says these two things. Oh, you got a question? Yeah, go for it. Wait, let's wait till we get the mic. So we can just hear you. We need to all hear you. Wonderful.
You know the scale that you had up
yes.
earlier? It had up to 18 and 10.
Yes.
You said that it would be easier for someone to get saved in their 20s rather than them being saved in their 40s. What's the difference?
I didn't say easier. I said, statistically, more people get saved in their 20s than later on in life. Mm. Statistic, I mean, it's a ridiculous statistic. So we do say it must be easier. There's a term you can't teach. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Getting saved is all about repenting and changing your life and giving up. So we would understand why statistically people do get saved younger. But the point I make is that through what you see with people is that when they get saved many times, and if they usually how they set the pace of their early years will determine how they live for the rest of their life. Usually, I'm just saying usually, God can do anything, but usually how someone sets the pace in their early years sets the pace for the rest of their life. And I've heard many, many preachers, many, many books, many people say it, and I've experienced it myself, where I've seen people that, because usually what happens is the stages of grace are, first thing is conviction, so you feel a deep conviction of sin. Next thing is grace, so you understand grace, but you kind of you're doing a lot of things because you think, oh, you know, I'm earning my grace. Then the next stage of your development and growth is you realize, hold up, this is all free. I'm saved. He's just saved me. And so that's another set. And so what happens many times is this is what balances people out. Because when they first get saved, they're like, oh, you know what, if I even winked, God would judge me. And because you're so sensitive to sin now, you're like, even if I did this, I remember me getting saved. I didn't even know was you allowed to have sex? Was I going to have to become a monk? Like, I literally didn't know. And I would have done it because I was like, I just don't want to go hell. So you're like this and you don't know much. And then you balance it off. But if you start very low, usually with the balancing off, you go lower. So that's what I would say. Martin.
I just like to ask, what would you say for somebody like during their physical peak? A lot of people may argue that, you know, how can I say this? Right, bear with me. Hold on. All right. A lot of people may say that it's quite hard because there's quite a lot more distractions and whatnot. So what would you say to a young person they want to seek God, but they're saying that there's so many distractions around them during their physical peak because I think it's quite self-explanatory in that title, Physical Peak, so therefore you're growing, more people are attracted to you, all of these things. Does that make sense? You get what I'm coming from?
I know we're still about. Attractive.
No.
Amen, oldies.
Yeah, but you know, you want to be...
No, I understand, I understand. Yeah, I think one thing I would definitely say that being saved young, it comes with its own challenges. And you've got to remember as well, we're measuring our life in one hemisphere, in the West. If you was living in a village, somewhere in South America, being a teenager or being 30 wouldn't make a difference, would it? When Jesus was walking the earth, it wouldn't have made. So we're obviously talking about a certain experience in a certain hemisphere. See, in the West, the devil has done an ingenious idea. He's developed this thing called youth culture. And youth culture is a new invention. Because if you study way back in history, you go back, there wasn't a youth culture. There wasn't an adolescence. Basically, you was a child. And then one day your dad said, come on, boy, we're going to saw some wood today. You're a man now. But now what we have is adolescence. We have this bit in the middle now where guys will play games, video games forever, live with their mom forever, do this forever. And so we have this period of time. And so the devil has understood that, you know what, I'm going to distract them. I'm going to distract them. And I do believe that it is a major distraction. I think, what does a young person do? The Bible says it beautifully in the Psalms 118. How does a young man cleanse his way? By the word of God. And so I would say definitely there needs to be a focusing on the word of God. But you will have to make decisions to cut off distractions. You've got to cut off distractions. You've got to cut off distractions. And yeah, when you're young, those distractions may feel like there are a lot of things. But you come and speak to me, or you speak to someone in their 30s, or someone in their 40s, or someone in their 50s, someone in their 60s, there's always distractions. And I think this is why your question kind of is linked with China's question, because I think the person that is able to battle through those things in their 20s has learned the skill they're going to use for the rest of their life to battle off. You like these moves? And so this is what it is. If you don't learn those skills, you're just like, and that's all you can do your whole life. The devil's just like, get out of here, you punk. Just kick you down. And so I think that is one of the things. I'd say the other thing is, the reason why I got saved at 22, and I think for me, I didn't want to go hell. I saw it as hell. It's hell or the life you was living before. It's hell or the life you was living before. And so nothing to me is worth hell. I remember being very, very young saved. I said, you know what? There's no girl on this planet is worth hell. There's no girl on this planet. There is not one girl on this planet that's good enough to go hell. Now, if there was, we would say probably it was Francis. But even that, there isn't one. So figure about this now. There is no amount of money that's worth hell. There's no car that's worth hell. And I guess, that's what I would say. Does that make sense? That makes sense, yeah. So you just have to deal with those distractions. Last thing I would say on that point, as a young person here, and if you say there's some distractions, I would say you need help to guide you through, and that's why the church is here. So link with the church. If you just attend church on a Sunday and you don't have friends here and you're not amalgamating here, then you're going to live a life of total distraction. But if you will embed your life here, I think that's why I made it. I embedded my life in the church. And even though the guys I was embedding my life with, they didn't dress like me, they didn't talk like me, they weren't like me, they didn't know the things I knew, I was like, they know Jesus. I knew the world, I knew cool, I knew this, but I didn't know Jesus. I needed to do that, and so I embedded my life there. Someone else had their hand up? Yes, we need you at the mic here, please. Mic man.
So this was in regards to China's question.
Yes.
About the first 3 years of your salvation. No, actually, I don't. Yeah, about the first 3 years of your salvation.
Yeah, that's a rough estimate.
Also.
Yeah.
Well, I had a question about that, obviously. Sorry.
yeah, no problem.
Which is why I have the mic. So my question was, so what then would you say about people who maybe start off well, for the first few years of their salvation, you know, roughly 3 or so.
Yeah.
But then they backslide as if it never happened. So how could, you know, we've seen it countless times, people, you know, who start off really well, they're on fire for God. You can't deny that, you know, the Holy Spirit dwells in them. But then they backslide and, you know, they never come back. What would you say about that? Like, what went wrong? I mean, obviously everyone's salvation is different, but you could always point it to something. I don't know if that makes
sense. I think I wouldn't even try to analyze everybody. Why did everybody backslide? I mean, in a simple, they left Jesus. That's why they backslid. But I understand what you're saying. I would say a few things on that. One is sometimes we think someone's on fire because they're very active. That doesn't mean their heart is there. Sometimes we think someone is very loyal because they haven't been tested yet. You know, if you was the, imagine ladies in this place, you're the only woman in the planet. You're the only one on the planet. And your husband says, I love you more than any other woman. What does it mean? It means nothing. And so that's how some people are. Some people are like, I'm all going for Jesus and I give him everything, because they don't have anything yet. This is why you see sometimes youth, church kids, they serve God until the world starts offering them. You're 14. I love Jesus. The Jesus, the devil. Yeah, okay. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. The world starts offering you more. Let's keep it real. Like what Martin said, the world starts becoming more attractive. It starts becoming more distractions start being offered to you. Now we're going to see the real you. And so to me, I would say there are multiple reasons why. But I would say this much. I've seen many people once serve God, like be on fire, preach everywhere, do it for years, drift away for many, many years and come back. And until they're dead, there's always hope. Keep praying for them. Keep believing God for them. And many times you'll see people come back. Anybody else? No? Okay. Patrick. Professor Patrick.
Just a quick one. I just wanted to ask...
See, Professor Patrick, I told you. All right, let him ask. Go on.
I mean, with the physical and the eternal things, because obviously the physical things, we see it. And obviously most of the time we get distracted by what we see, because we live in a world, obviously in the West, where seeing is believing. And whereas eternal things, we don't see it, like obviously. So how do you get a balance? Because most of the time because we're so consumed by the physical things, that we forget the eternal things, because like life in general obviously just takes it, knocks on you and stuff. So how do you have a balance of obviously keeping an eye on the physical, but also obviously having engaging with the eternal things?
Very good question. Very, very good question. Excellent questions. One thing I would say is this is why we have church. That's what church is for. This is why we have two services a week. Because if you start to go crazy Monday, Tuesday, at least by Wednesday, we're going to catch you again. You come and like, oh my day, I lost my stinking mind for 2 days. And so that's why we have church. Second thing is, this is why we have brethren, friendships. This is why you've got to have people in your life you're accountable to. If you're a loner, then you're like a man climbing up the mountain without a friend to tie his cord to. When he falls, he just falls. No one to keep him on there. And so you have friendship. What you realize, you'll see, when someone starts to drift, the first thing they do is they start to break off meaningful relationship. Their friendships become shallow. It's like a high buy. Their friendships become shallow. That's the beginning of somebody pulling away. I would say the other thing would be our devotion. Try to have a daily devotional. This is why I read my Bible every day. I pray every day. Because my heart can become just as distracted from the carnal things as any of you. Like I've said before, my battles are not, I want to be this imperial leader and all of those things. But I would like, an Aston Martin. I would like these things and be like, you know what? I've done this church thing for 10 years now. Let me just do my own thing. No, this is your calling, Courtney. Get back to it. This is what it's about. And so you've got to have this relationship with God and protect that relationship through prayer, through reading the word, through worship. And so I'd say these things will keep you. The last thing I'll say is this. Balance is never something we achieve. It's something that we fight for. When none of us are ever fully balanced. We're just, while we're here now, we're like always, how many of us how we are? That woman is just super spiritual. Would you like a cup of tea? No, tea is too hot. Hell is hot. And so we're just too spiritual. And the next minute, it's like, do you want a cup of tea? Put some rum in it. And so this is how we are. We're like one way to the other way. And so what we've got to do is don't give up. Just keep, you get there. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Okay, last question, if there is one. Mr. Matthew, junior professor. We had the senior, now we have the junior.
So we say that the average lifespan is from to 80. And so how do you
like
know...
Like you said, from. Like,
yeah.
Where's it going
to
start?
Yeah, from zero to 80. How do you know what God has called you to do in that time?
Mm, excellent. These are good. These are very. No, seriously, I'm not just guessing nobody, man. These are good, good questions. I think it's what the first thing that we see in the Bible, we see people getting involved. And people are always like, what does God want me to do? Everything, it doesn't matter what God wants you to do, we know it's this. It's always going to be glorifying to Him. It's always going to bring glory to Him. It has to bring glory to God. My prayer, I have a prayer list. One of my prayers every day is to do your will and to bring glory to you. That's I don't want to bring a dishonor to God. I don't want my actions to dishonor God. And so everything that we do should bring glory to God. Second thing is everything God calls us to do is always to serve others in some type of capacity. It always has the service of others and the helping of others. If God's calling you to do it, so some people are like, yeah, God called me to do this, and I'm going to be this. I'm going to build my own empire, and this is what God's called me to do, and I'm going to do this. And it's like, okay, that's good. And I'm not saying God didn't, but how are people served through it? Because we don't see God actually telling people, yeah, I'm just going to give you this empire, and then that's it. No. It must always serve others. The Bible says, the Spirit is manifested as what? What does it say? There's a word for it. Of the Spirit. The fruit. Remember, the tree doesn't eat its own fruit. The fruit is for others to eat. Your fruitfulness is to bless others. That's how God always designed us. So how do I come to the place where I know what God called me to do? This is how you come to the place. Become active in what God is showing you now. See, if God tells me, okay, now I want you to go over to Keisha and give her a pound. And I haven't got a pound on me, so don't get excited. And I give her a pound. And usually what would happen was, as I get here, God would then say, yeah, go over to Kyle and just give him a slap. No, give him a pound. And then I come over here and I give him a pound. And when I come here, God would then say, go. And this is how it works. But the problem is, I would get, and then as I meet him, I'd learn things. As I meet her, I'd learn things. The problem is, we want God to tell us the whole story, but he doesn't. And some people, he's been telling them for a year, just go and give Keisha the pound. Go give her the pound. And because we don't, we never actually get here to hear, hey, Carl's got a word for you. We never hear that. And so we're doing is, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Give me a word. And God's like, if you would go there, you'd go there, you go there, you get the word. And that's how destiny, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, because I came to church and then there was a need and I've been an usher and I've been in music ministry and I've been a Bible study leader and I've been a new convert class leader and I've been this ministry and that ministry and youth ministry and I've done all these ministries in the church and each time, my calling is becoming more confirmed to me. And now I can come here with confidence to say God has called me. But he didn't just wake me up, straight away and said, yeah, this is what it is. Does that make sense? Okay, let's quickly move on. We are running out of time. Okay, so what we said was, those two scriptures, for I consider it that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. And he says that light affliction. God is not saying that your life is easy. How many know, even though I had that little thing up there where your life is that tiny thing, how many know right now it can feel painful? God is not belittling your experience. He's not saying what you're going through is nothing. That's not what God is doing. God says, why does he use the light affliction then? What he's doing is comparing the moment in time to eternity. That's what he's doing. And what he says, he's saying, only when you have an eternal view or mindset will you understand how to look at your problems as a Christian. Listen to me. Only when you have an eternal mindset will you understand what God is doing in this problem. See, if you don't have an eternal mindset, you're just like, I'm in a problem, get me out. He's not getting me out. This prayer's not working. This Christianity thing's not working. No, no, no. You have to have an eternal mindset because look at, let's read the scripture again. He says this, our light affliction, say light. This is a light affliction. It's a light thing, which is but for a moment is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He says, this affliction feels light. How many know when you're in an affliction, it never feels light? But he's saying, what makes it feel light is that it's working a far more, well, let me use the word, an eternal weight of glory. Light, heavy weight. He says, this is lightweight when you compare it to the heavier weight of eternity. Think about this now. Imagine it's on a scale. Here is your problem. We put your problem on a scale here. And maybe the scale will turn right up because this is your problem right now. It feels really, really big. It's a big problem, Pastor. You could tell me, some people here, you are going through serious things. I want to show this slide. No, not that one. There you go. This one. This is in scale. And from the, look at my right and the left. Okay, from the left, the third one in, that third little marble, that is earth. This one here. I think this one is earth. That's earth. I think the first one is the moon. This is in scale. Now think about this now. Yeah, that's it. You pointed to it. So think about this now. That's earth in scale to our solar system. Look how tiny it is. Now think of how tiny London is. Think of how tiny Wandsworth is. Think of how tiny you are. Now your problem seems light. Now, if we put your problem on one side, do the next slide. And then we was to put the sun on the other side. Look at that. See, and this is not even the biggest sun in the universe. We know there's way bigger suns. There are suns that are so big, they make the sun look like the earth. See, this is what we've got to do is, here, we've been putting our problem on one side, and we've been putting our, sometimes we put other people on the other side. Well, they haven't been for anything like that. So it goes down, and then it goes back up, because no one else is going through what I'm going through. Maybe we put something else here, or your own understanding. You put that on it, it goes back up. The Bible says, no, 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 no. What you need to put, you put your problem there, and on the other side, you put eternity. Now, this problem is light. Now, this problem is light. Listen, once you've got eternity on the end of your scale, remember I said you've got to look at everything through an eternal mindset. You've got to have eternity on one side, and now on this side, the devil tries to put problems. It doesn't even move. The devil can come and swing on that thing. You could be laughing. You're not even going to move it. It's not even going to shift. You don't have the strength. There is not a problem that the devil can throw at us. See, remember what I said heaven on Sunday? Heaven is a bargain. It is worth us going through all of these trials. See, What faith is retro thinking. That's what faith is. Faith is retro. Retro means looking back. When you have a pair of retro shoes or retro Jordans, they're looking back. That's what retro means, to look back. We need retro thinking. And what I mean by that is we need to start with heaven and then look back at our lives. That's what faith is. And so faith, here's faith. His faith says, okay, let me start with heaven and now let me look back at something. Let me show you, give you an illustration. As a guy at work, he likes me. Okay, start with heaven. In heaven, if you're going to get to heaven, is this guy worth it? Is this guy going to help you get there? If it's yes, praise God. Start the ball rolling. If it's no, just let him start rolling. This is what you start with. You've got faith. It's like, I know I've got heaven in the balance. And so, because I've got an eternal mindset, I look at everything. I look at my job. I look at my career. I look at my friendships. I look at my time. I look at everything. And if it doesn't affect that, and it doesn't persuade that, that is what I do. And so, to the question that was asked before, how does a young person go through all these distractions? Have eternity on your mind. Have eternity on your mind. Yes, you could have one moment of pleasure. Eternity. No. There's not one person here that I don't think, anyway, that we could just skank you with something stupid. Like sell your house for a piece of bubble gum. There's nobody here that would fall for that. But think about this now. That means that you've got the ability to be able to discern and understand, no. I'm not going to throw away eternity for this momentary pleasure. I'm not going to do it. Heaven is a bargain. If you have to deny yourself of things now, if you have to give up some stuff now, you have to ride it now, do it. Because it's going to be worth it in the end. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.